Al Horford, two for two and a steal.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
Kyrie against Temple. Horford sets the screen. Now Kyrie dribbles around Jackson right into a three. I don't even have to look.
Man.
Ridiculous. The Celtics take the Grizzlies' best shot, but they had the cheat code. And Kyrie Irving did whatever he wanted to do, whenever he wanted to do it. 38 for Kyrie, 28 in the second half, and the Celtics have won 8 in a row at home. Final score, Boston 122, Memphis 116.
Sports Up Celtics Show. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, News 617-779-0985. This is the place to talk Celtics between now and 1 o'clock here on 98.5, a Sports Hub. So Kyrie Irving dominant last night at home. Celtics over the Memphis Grizzlies, 122-116 is the final. Kyrie Irving leading the way once again, 38 points, 11 assists, 7 boards in 35 minutes. So he was excellent last night, needless to say. They've now won two straight. So looks like, feels like they're building off that that win at home against Toronto on Wednesday night, where, again, Kyrie's dominant in that game, too. And, boy, Toronto, they still feel to me like they still have that, inherent gutlessness in them. It starts with Kyle Lowry, who I am no fan of. Even Danny Green, who I know came in the San Antonio deal with Kawhi. But, boy,
Danny's been good, though. Danny Green's been real good.
He was a chucker the other night, though. Man, he was shooting the basketball like I do. Either way. Two things with this team, and what's been a mostly tumultuous week, I feel like, for them. Last time we were sitting here, Chris, it's like, okay, they've been up and down, inconsistent. And then they had that loss in Orlando on Saturday night, and then everything that happened behind the scenes and in front of the cameras after that game. And it's like, whoa, what is happening? What is going on here? There seems to be real issues still between Kyrie and some of the younger guys like Jaylen Brown. It's the back and forth there. And so, I don't know, like, with everything that's transpired this week, well, I'll ask you two things. One,
yeah,
where are you in terms of how you feel about Kyrie Irving's leadership and how he's handled himself this week or since we last did the show? And two, now that they've won a couple of straight, have they righted the ship, for lack of a better term?
Well, let me answer the first one, last, and I'll answer the second one first. In terms of righting the ship, no, I don't think they have. And that's not saying they can't, but we've seen this before. Like, we're quick to react to wins they have and say, oh, they figured it out. You know, this happened after the team meeting, too. And then they go on that three-game road trip and drop all three games.
Right.
At Miami, at Orlando, at Brooklyn. So I'll say that I haven't seen enough to say they figured it out. And beating the Hawks tonight, even though the Hawks have been playing better of late, I think they're 5-5 in their last 10 or 4-4 in their last
8,
whatever
it is. They've
been
all right since
December. Yeah, they haven't been as bad. That's not going to change my mind. In terms of the first question, which I totally forget what it was.
Well, Kyrie, his leadership.
Yeah. I mean, I still think he's trying to learn how to be a leader. And you and I talked about this on the show the last couple of weeks. I think his leadership style leaves a lot to be desired. And I think, you know, again, I use this quote in my column, and I think it's true. And I don't, you know, often quote sports movies like this, but that movie, Remember the Titans, right? When they're at camp and they're talking about, you know, how come you're not giving more effort? And he says, you know, you're the leader, right? Yeah, I'm the leader. Okay. Attitude reflects leadership. And to me, the attitude of this team reflects the lack of leadership. And it just feels like guys feel like they have to sort of defend themselves and they're going at each other and there's arguments. And I think that comes from Kyrie, because in Kyrie's mind, he's holding people accountable, but it's not coming off that way. Whatever his intentions are, it's coming off, in my opinion, as bullying people, as being kind of petty, and the message is not getting across. And he's mentioned the young guys so many times. I mean, you know, replace young guys with fall guys, because that's basically what he's made these guys. And I don't think that's fair. And if I'm these guys, I'm mad about it too. If I'm Tatum or Rozier or Brown, here's why I'm mad about it. Okay, yeah, there's some things we're not doing. And look, yeah, Jaylen Brown completely in the wrong in Miami for not getting back on defense. But do you want to know the single biggest reason the Celtics are not the team we thought they would be? It's Gordon Hayward. And I feel for the guy. Like, physically, it's been harder to come back than I think we all anticipated. But I don't see Kyrie calling that guy out. And even though he was mad in Orlando about not getting the inbounds pass, and even though he sort of put his hands out, LeBron style, to him, the verbiage he has used in talking about Gordon Hayward has been nowhere near what it has been for these young guys. And these young guys are saying, well, we went to the Eastern Conference Finals without you, Kyrie, and without this guy who's coming off the bench and who's inconsistent and who is getting, you know, driven to the hoop so much. He's like the neighborhood carpool. Like, now you look at that and you say, okay, you've divided the team between veteran guys, regardless of how they're playing, because Gordon Hayward gets immunity because he's a veteran, and the young guys. And that, to me, is the issue with Kyrie's leadership.
No, it's a good point. Gordon Hayward hasn't gotten in terms of what Kyrie Irving has done here in front of the cameras after these games in the last week, there's not enough barbs being thrown at Gordon Hayward, because he really, I'm with you, he's been a mess. And until further notice, look, you're saying maybe we don't, you know what's going on inside of his head in terms of this comeback and come back from an injury. Yes, all right, you're a nicer person than me. I get it, Chris, but he's now, he's had a couple of games where he's going off against the Timberwolves.
He was great against Toronto.
And good against Toronto, but still, there's an inconsistency there. I think he's fine, healthy, you know, he's physically healthy. There's still something going on there. He can't get over that hump, but I'm sorry. Like, enough of the excuse-making. Until further notice, like, I've had it with Gordon Hayward. What, do you have 3 points against Brooklyn on Monday night? Like, stop it. This is ridiculous.
He just did struggle in that game. Yeah.
And this is where that's a night where you got to stop the bleeding and take over, dude. Like, you're an all-star. You're the reason they're like, you know, the biggest free agent name that this team has brought in ever, right? So I've had it with the Gordon Hayward thing. Kyrie, I do think his heart's in the right place.
I agree.
He's just, man, he goes about it the wrong way. I think after that Toronto game and then saying that he called Braun, like I felt it was.
You didn't like that?
It came off as it's him humbling himself to LeBron as an example, not because he felt bad about being a young, cocky player. Like some of these guys, he might look at Jaylen Brown and think, okay, you're too cocky. You don't get it yet. You haven't accomplished enough. It's him trying to be an example for these kids. Like, see, I'm going to make a reference, a South Park reference, when Cartman pretends to be Edward James Olmos in Stand and Deliver, and he's like, how do I reach these kids?
Yeah.
This is Kyrie saying to LeBron, how do I reach these kids? That's what he's doing there. And so this is how to be humble, Jaylen. You know, I was 22 years old and thought I knew the league and thought I knew it all, and just like you. So let me dad you some more and show you how it's done. I'll submit to LeBron. I was the young, cocky a-hole like you are, Jaylen. See how easy it is? Now you do it for me.
See, I know everybody's saying that, and I think, again, I said this yesterday on Felger Mass. Much like Felger, I think Kyrie has a tonality and presentation issue, and that's what it is, and his message is getting lost sometimes, and it comes off more antagonistic than it really is. I think what he was trying to say, and he said this a couple of times, you know, like I said, only a few are meant or chosen for leading. You know, getting the most out of the group is not the easiest thing in the world. I think he's sort of humbling himself and admitting that, man, you know, I always wanted this. I wanted to have my own team. I thought I could do this. I didn't need LeBron. And now I realize, like, this is a lot harder than I thought. It's not easy to lead. And if you're Kyrie and you're looking for leadership advice based on his career, who are the quote-unquote leaders he's played with? It's LeBron.
Yeah.
So where else was he going to go? You're going to call Kevin Durant? Kevin Durant's not a leader. So who's he going to call and ask about? You're going to ask Coach K? Yeah, that's great in college, but who else would he go to? So I think that's the thing people are missing. And yeah, part of that was, you know, him saying to LeBron, like, now, I think more, instead of saying, like, hey, these young kids are idiots, I think he's saying, man, I didn't realize how hard a job it was to lead. I have a much greater appreciation for what you did and why you did some of the things you did the way that you did them. Because this is not easy and not everybody's cut out. And honestly, this is my opinion now at this point. I think Kyrie, if it were up to him, I don't think he wants to be a leader at this point. I think he would love it if somebody else sees this leadership thing because he's realized it's a pain in the butt.
Well, so I agree with you on that. I think that's been part of the problem and why his approach has been so wonky, I guess, for lack of a better term, because he's realized, like, oh, this sucks.
Yeah.
You know?
I think he just thought, you're the best player in the team. Yeah. And
they'll follow me by default.
Yeah, you tell it like it is, and that's how it goes, and they'll just automatically defer. And it's like, no, you have to motivate guys. I think there are times you have to give guys tough love. There are other times that you have to console guys. There's a lot that goes into it psychologically. And I think when I look at Kyrie, too, just his makeup. I mean, we've talked about this before. This is a guy who's an iconoclast. He looks at things a little bit differently. And I think that can make it hard to relate to other people and empathize with other people and their positions. And so I'm not sure that he's suited to be a leader. I think he's more of a loner than a leader. And I think that's one of the issues he has sort of relating to these guys.
All right, you want to talk Kyrie and Celtics? Now's the place to do it. 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls. And we'll get a little bit more insight on the Kyrie situation from this week and whether or not this team's out of the woods. They won two straight. We'll talk to Chris Forsberg, who covers them for NBC Sports Boston, next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is Kyrie Irving on the home of the Boston Celtics, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'll tell you one thing, and obviously this is something that it was a big deal for me because I had to call Bron, you know, and tell him, like, you know, I apologize for being that young player that wanted to everything at his, you know, at his fingertips, and I wanted everything to be at, you know, my threshold. I wanted to be the guy that led us to change. I wanted to be the leader. I wanted to be all that, and, you know, the responsibility of being the best player in the world and leading a team is something that's not meant for many people, and Bron was one of those guys that came to Cleveland and tried to really show us what it's like to win a championship, and it was hard for him, and sometimes getting the most out of the group, it's not the easiest thing in the world.
I didn't like it at all, number one. It seemed like he was saying, we're losing because of these guys. They're young. They don't know how to win. They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals without him last year. Ernie, you don't have to tell people you're a leader. Just be a leader. That kid played great last night. The assists were important. That's one of the few games I've seen where he really made a conscious effort to make everybody around him better. But this notion when you, this thing like, I call LeBron because he taught me how to be a leader. Well, then be a leader. You don't have to tell us you're a leader. I did not like it at all. Because what he said to me, I get through the BS, Ernie. Hey, we're losing because these young guys in the locker room. And I didn't like it at all.
Charles Barkley on Kyrie revealing that he called LeBron James. Sports Hub Celtic Show, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Joining us in the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, Chris Forsberg, who covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. So, Chris, I'm under the impression that you're much like the Chris to my left, and Chris Gasper, that too much was made out of this, and this is Kyrie not really taking a shot at the young players on the Celtics. He's just, maybe his heart's in the right place. Maybe he's just got to handle himself a little bit better in how he tries to, you know, package what he's saying.
Yeah, like, this is Kyrie in a nutshell. He's very loquacious with his answers, but he also seems to, like, get lost at times, and I think sometimes it's hard to parse his message and figure out what he's trying to say. And so people maybe from the outside looked at Kyrie saying, oh, I had to call LeBron and apologize, as, oh, he's saying he was a petulant little kid and didn't listen and didn't see the bigger picture. So in a way, he's saying that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Terry Rozier are the same way and they need to change like he did, but I thought the bigger message was he recognizes that in a way he's becoming LeBron and he understands how much he hated that. And so while he's sort of reconciling with his past, he's also realizing that to be a great leader, he needs to change the way he's directing his animosity towards the Celtics struggles and pinning the blame repeatedly on the younger guys. And he's, you know, like, it's fair to voice those frustrations, but do it behind closed doors. Don't make it public. So he's got to figure out how to be a better leader. But, you know, all things considered, he's still 26. He's still sort of figuring this thing out. I think it's kind of neat that he showed this human emotion, like, you know, this isn't easy. And Kyrie makes everything look so easy on the basketball court. It's almost refreshing to see that he's like, I don't quite know how to do this yet. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to reach out to guys that have gone through this and figure out how to be a better leader.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I mean, I think it is an interesting juxtaposition there between just how easy the game comes to him on the court, or at least he makes it look like the game comes to him easily on the court. I think this is a little different. And this is what he wanted when he left Cleveland, right? I mean, he wanted his own team. He wanted to be captain of his own ship. And now I think he realizes, oh, okay, this is a little harder than I thought. I actually had it pretty good with LeBron and just sort of being, you know, the number two there and just do my thing. And so I think that's the way I took it, that it was more of a recognition. Apologizing to LeBron was more about saying, I didn't realize how hard this was, and I just thought, you know, I could do it because I'm super talented. And it's not really about talent. It's about something else.
Yeah, and like, I think the big thing that gets glossed over because we're also fixated on the LeBron part is he said in there, you know, Jaylen Brown was right.
Yes.
When Jaylen Brown, after the Brooklyn game, came out and said that, you know, it starts at the top and it's not about pointing fingers. And so, listen, it took the backlash from the Orlando game when Kyrie first spotted off to sort of for Kyrie to recognize. And I think, you know, he took the next couple of days and he obviously took that game off on Monday. If you want to call it a mental health day, I think that Orlando game was as frustrated as I've seen Kyrie. He got attacked in the third quarter. Usually he's very, like, he'll just walk away from the ref and kind of, like, reason, okay, I shouldn't have done that, whatever. But he was fired up, and he was stalking after the ref, and then the frustration at the end of the game with Gordon Hayward not directing the play towards him, I think it just all bubbled over. I think he just needed to sort of hit the refresh button And maybe the team recognized that as well. But he needed to sort of, you know, get himself right. But the Jaylen Brown comes out after that Brooklyn game and sort of, you know, points the finger right back at Kyrie. And I think that's pretty cool, too. Like,
good for Jaylen.
Brad Stevens is, yeah, like Brad Stevens has always said that the younger guys have to feel empowered on this team to be as much of a vocal leader as the older guys. And so I don't know if we would have got to this point where Kyrie recognized that he was trending the wrong way if the younger guys don't give him a little grief back. So good on Jaylen for sticking up for himself. He's played better than, you know, I think a lot of people give him credit for lately. And but that was a big moment, I think, in sort of getting this thing back on track.
Yeah, so what happened with the double technical last night with Shelvin Mack?
This is going to be tough because Brad loves both of them.
Yeah, one of Brad's guys.
And I so I definitely saw Kyrie mouth another word for a cat a couple of times, which I was like, oh, what happened here?
My guess is, you know, if I'm an opposing player and I wanted to like, you know, get under Kyrie's skin right now, I might reference the LeBron call or, you know, I might say something to that effect. But I don't know. Kyrie said he questioned his manhood. And that, you know, lit a little fire under Kyrie last night. I don't mind players trying to get under each other's skin and stuff like that. But when Kyrie's going off for a huge third quarter, probably not the time that Shelvin Mack wanted to pick that battle and try to win that war.
I just want to swing away from Kyrie just for a second here and talk about Al Horford, because I think the last two games there have been some really, really encouraging signs from Al. You know, last night, another strong game, 18 points for him on 8 of 10 shooting. And then against Toronto, 24 points, 7 rebounds, 9 of 12 from the field. Is he starting to get healthier, or is he just being more aggressive, or is it both?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I do think that knee was a bigger issue than maybe he made it out to be. And obviously they had to sit him out there for a little bit to let him start to get right. It might be an issue just like where, you know, it was sort of like Gordon's ankle. Like, there's going to be nights where Al just doesn't have the lift or the explosion or whatever he needs to be the top level Al Horford. You know, it's funny because, like, there was a play early in the Toronto game where he tried to, like, get to the basket and he just looked like he didn't, like, his legs just wouldn't get him to the hoop. And I'm like, oh, that's a bad sign. And then, like, literally a minute later, he threw down a crazy dunk and I'm thinking, where did that come from? So I think Al has the ability to sort of ratchet it up. I think we all know, especially just all the miles on those tires, that he's sort of pacing himself at times here and sees the bigger picture of making sure that he's ready when the playoffs come around. But, you know, he's so vital to what they do on both ends. Getting Baines back here will help because they can defray some of the wear and tear on him. He doesn't have to guard fives as much, you know, like a game like last night where he doesn't have to match up with Gasol the whole night. That's huge. So I just think they got to pace him a little bit. He's getting older, but he still can be so impactful. The one curiosity I have is they haven't run as much offense through him as they did last year. I think they'd probably be better served if they could, you know, get the ball in Al's hands, even if he's just facilitating from the high post. He just makes good things happen, and I'd like to see them do that more. Maybe that allows him to be a bit more aggressive in terms of, you know, he's got the ball more and can make things happen more often.
Talking to Chris Forsberg, covers the Celtics, NBC Sports Boston. So, Chris, the numbers last night for Marcus Smart, ridiculous. And between him and Kyrie, 58 points, 70% shooting. But with Smart, is this one of his typical hot streaks? Or, I mean, you cover the team, you're there on a night-to-night basis. Has he figured something out with his shot?
Yeah, like, honestly, I think it's just health in terms of, he's always sort of had the confidence in that shot. And Brad Stevens said last night, he felt like Marcus was really going to turn a corner last year. Well, then he injured the hand once by punching the picture frame, and then he hurt it again and hurt his thumb before the playoffs. And so naturally that affects his shot. And when you're not a great consistent shooter to begin with and you hurt your shooting hand, it's going to cause some issues. And so, you know, he's been able to stay healthy this year. He swears he didn't change his form. He's just more confident, and you look at his shooting chart, it's like crazy because most guys in the NBA that are not pure 3-point shooters but can be at least good from that range typically thrive in the corners, a shorter shot, a more accurate shot. Marcus is above the break, like direct in front of the hoop, like his numbers make no sense. And so I keep wanting to write it off as another hot streak because he's had stretches like this during his career. He's had 4 or 5 games, 8 games, whatever. But this is like a good month now. And I mean, to be at 37.5% for the season ahead of Klay Thompson, like who could have ever predicted that sort of craziness? You know, it comes down to if he can stay confident, if he can stay healthy, I think he can maintain that sort of impact. That being said, you know, the one thing I don't want to see is where he gets so confident with that shot that he goes back to sort of just firing away. He had one catch and shoot three last night that was just absurd. Now he made it, but you still want Marcus to take those shots when they're created, you know, when he's open, when they're created through the flow of the offense. You don't want him to go back to sort of that inefficient, just throwing up threes, Marcus Smart.
Yeah, I totally agree on that. I mean, last 11 games, he's 47% from three, which is great. But the thing is, and the reason he was in the starting lineup to begin with, guys, was that he could affect the game without shooting. And frankly, on a team where there already is a paucity of available shots, you know, I'm glad he's making these shots, but it's not the greatest thing in the world because Tatum, Brown, those guys need to get their touches. Chris, speaking of Brown, it just seems like the last couple of games, he's been more engaged defensively, had a great block last night. Do you sense that he's starting to accept his role a little bit more? He also seems to be more efficient offensively. He realizes it doesn't have to be 18 points a night. If it's 10 to 12, but it's efficient, that's an impact.
Yeah, I think it's just taken a while for all these guys to sort of figure that out. And I'm not necessarily sold that he'll be able to stay in that zone and sort of, you know, embrace it, but certainly good to see that, you know, he does seem to be getting at that. If he's just a really, really impactful defender, he'll get his offensive touches, especially with that second unit needing some scoring with Hayward being inconsistent and Rozier being up and down at times. So, you know, he can really impact the game if he just puts the focus on the defensive end. Again, that's hard. You know, Brad's talked about it a lot, all those bench guys. You know you're only going to get 5-6 shots a night, you know, you're naturally pressing and trying to make the most of it. And, you know, we've seen that with Rozier. And Jalen can really impact the game in a big way off the bench. And if he can just harness what he's done the last few games, and maybe, you know, as silly as it sounds, if not having Kyrie on his back and demanding more, that will help as well. So if they can nurture and understand those rules, that's a big thing for this team moving forward. You know, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's going to be an issue again. They're going to have to juggle their starting lineup at some point once they try to figure out how to best use all these pieces. But if they can get everyone to buy in on those roles, especially now that they're healthy and they've got to find minutes for Baines, who's been really important since he's come back, and if they can keep everyone happy with their roles, then that's going to be a huge thing for this team moving forward.
Well as that backcourt's been playing and shooting, I know you're looking for a nickname for them, Chris. Splash Brothers East, the Snow Bros, maybe the Tattoo Twins, I don't know. But I know if anyone has an idea, hit up Chris on Twitter, @ChrisForsberg_. And, of course, Chris covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. Thanks for taking the time this Saturday afternoon, Chris.
Oh, thank you, guys.
All right, Chris Forsby. Chris Forsberg again joins us via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. I promise we'll get to your calls coming up next here. We have one open phone line you want to join us. 617-779-0985 here in the Sports Hub Celtics Show. I do have to remind you, too, Patrice Bergeron and Toucher and Rich present Pucks and Paddles. It's back, the second annual ping pong tournament benefiting the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation, happening Thursday, February 7th at Royal Boston. You can bid to play doubles ping pong against your favorite Bruins player, Toucher and Rich, John Wallach, Mark Bertrand, and others. I believe Scott Zolak's going to be there as well. So VIP tickets, you want to go, $200 gives you access to the autograph session with the team so you can meet the players, the guys, you can hang out with them. General admission tickets, just $50. For all the information and to buy these tickets, go to 985thesportshub.com. McCone's going to get you caught up with the Hub headlines and then right to you here in the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show on the home of the seas. 985 The Sports Hub. Chris Casper, Jim Murray. The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 985 The Sports Hub.
Uh-oh, Kyrie Irving is saying something now.
Yeah, he got Jocelyn in there with Shelvin Mack. Joakim Noah separates the two of them. Boy, Kyrie. Whoa, Kyrie is barking at Shelvin Mack.
Whoa.
That seemed to come out of nowhere. Of course, those stuff never really does. Double technicals.
I mean, he said something pretty disrespectful, so I told him to do something about it. He didn't. Obviously, we're an NBA basketball game. It gets to that point. I mean, you know, I don't usually get texts like that, but somebody questions your manhood at that point, then, I mean, you got no choice. So, that's what it is.
Well, despite the scoring spree that Kyrie went on last night, I thought that was the most entertaining thing of the night. That double technical that he had with Shelvin Mack. And he definitely mouthed another word for a cat a couple of times. It was clear as day. on the broadcast. Your calls here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Your thoughts on the Celtics at 617-779-0985. Steve in Medford. You've been hanging a bit. Appreciate that. You're next here on the Sports Hub. Hey.
Hey, Big Jim. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about Terry Rozier specifically. Over the last kind of few weeks, you kind of noticed that Terry Rozier has been kind of one of those guys, those younger players that's been, when he's been out on the floor, he's been trying to get his points, and I feel like trying to get his stats up. And I just feel like at this point, I don't see him kind of recovering with the team, and I think he needs to be traded. I'd like to see him traded for a veteran point guard that would be willing to take less of a role, and a guy that comes to mind is DJ Augustine. Really good shooter off the catch. 10-year vet, knows his role. What are your guys' initial thoughts on something like that?
Well, I wish that they had moved him before the season, and I feel like I'm proven more right by that by the day, And during that ugly three-game stretch where you have the bitching going on behind the scenes, the loss to the Heat, the Magic, the Brooklyn, here's a guy who considers himself a starter this league or wants to be, and against the Heat, 1-for-8. Magic last Saturday, 0-for-5. Brooklyn on Monday, 3-for-12. He's just, well, he's certainly been overrated, I think, by a large swath of the Celtics fan base, but yeah. He has not been good this year.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the role, and this was my concern. I think even if you go back to last year and you look at when he excelled, obviously in the playoffs, but even before that, it was when Kyrie was missing time and he was in a starter's role, and this was the thing I was worried about. It's one thing to be in there and have the opportunity to go out and know you're going to play 25, 28 minutes and get all these shots. It's another in a limited role to be effective. And I just don't think he's been happy with his role, but I also don't think he's been effective in it. And I'm not surprised by that because I don't think it's a role he's been that effective in the past either. So I'm not really sure why they thought he would suddenly be able to be effective in this role. He has value. I think you hold on to him. You hope that he finds a way to be more effective in that role. And if not, obviously he's an RFA at the end, but you can package him somewhere and a sign and trade and try and get something in return.
Peter in Jamaica Plain, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
Hey guys, not every team needs a leader, okay? I don't like the way Kyrie is talking. He's a self-anointed leader of this team. They're a veteran team, okay? Al Horford doesn't need a leader. Aaron Baines doesn't need a leader. Gordon Hayward doesn't need a leader. Marcus Morris doesn't need a leader. If there's a leader on the team, it's by example, and that's Marcus Smart. I mean, Jaylen Brown, this is third year in the league. Terry Rozier, fourth year in the league. I mean, who are these young players that have to? I mean, besides Robert Williams and maybe Jason Tatum, and I think Chris, is he Chris?
Yep.
I think in the earlier part of this show, you said Kyrie isn't a born leader. It's not a position that he should be holding or even wants to be holding.
Yeah, I don't think it comes naturally to him.
They're a veteran team. They're not a young team.
Yeah, there's some truth to that. I mean, look, I think every team has leadership, but not every team, the leadership doesn't always come from the best player. And it can be, the best player's leadership can be by example. And then there are other, so, for example, like when Willie McGinnis was here, Willie McGinnis was really, really good. He was a really, really good player. And he was a leader for the Patriots. But was he the best player on those teams?
No.
But so you don't always need the best player to be the leader in that way. The most vocal person, the person that talks the most, the person that everybody has to listen to that's imparting messages. The leader, I thought the leader of this team last year was Al Horford. And I thought the young guys responded really well to that leadership. And the other thing I'll say, I think Al's personality better suits the type of leadership this team needs. They need someone that's going to be calm, that's going to be consistent, that's going to have some equanimity to them. I think Kyrie has just sort of lurched back and forth between, if we get consistency, we're going to roll through this league, to, experience, we don't have it, and you can't teach it, and, these guys don't understand how hard it is to be champions. You can't be, I said it last week. Again, it's one thing for us to ride the roller coaster as fans and media, but if the leader of the team does it, the team never gets traction.
Johnny in Brooklyn, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show with a thought on Gordon Hayward. Hey, Johnny.
Yeah, this is Jim and Chris.
Yes, yes.
I'm just kidding. Hey, yeah, thanks for taking my call. Gordon, stand in the corner, Hayward, man. He's brutal. But really, I think I'm having a hard time rooting for this team because of Kyrie Irving's attitude off the court. The one good thing he's done is taken the attention away from Gordon Hayward. But the question I have is, would you rather have a team of guys that you like that almost win you championships, or a team that guys that you have a hard time rooting for, but that can take you over the edge. I am not really sure watching this team, because they're killing me.
Well, and I can understand that, Johnny, because for a lot of Celtics fans, that team I referred to as the Bridgie Celtics, Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, at least they gave you max effort night to night, and they tried, and, you know, look.
They're a fun team to watch.
They were a fun team to watch. They were, but we knew what the ceiling was. I don't know. I'm ultimately, as a fan, and I'm, you know, obviously spoiled at this point, I'm about titles. I can dislike a team, but as long as you can get me a title, I can live with it. I don't know. I just saw that ceiling. It's why I refer to them as the Bridgie Celtics and why I mocked them at the time. And I said, Sav apologized, because, again, at least they were easy to root for, unlike this group at times. But ultimately, I'd rather have the group of unlikable players.
I think it's a little strong to say that this team is unlikable.
Agreed.
Or you can't root for
them. There's been times I've found them unlikable. But overall, are they? No. Because Kyrie, if nothing else, just from an aesthetic standpoint, Kyrie's such a joy to watch play basketball.
Exactly.
Like, I can deal with anything in terms of attitude. Let's go to Dave with more on Kyrie. Hey, Dave.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Enjoying this insightful discussion you guys are having.
Oh, hey.
I have a thought and a comment.
Yes.
My thought is, you know, we love Kyrie. If you ask me, he's like a leprechaun. I mean, he can be so much fun. But I also observed that he seems to have this knack for picking on the younger players on the Celtics. And if I'm not mistaken, this is exactly the criticism he had when he played with LeBron.
Bingo.
LeBron picking on the players in, you know, on the team that Kyrie played on. So this might be a behavior he might want to unlearn. My comment is, go Patriots. Take care, guys. Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other interesting facet of this whole thing, and why I think that, you know, I give Kyrie more credit than I think Charles Barkley and Felger and a lot of people around here. They're just saying, like, oh, you know, he's just throwing the young guys under the bus. He was already doing that, and I think this is an attempt for him to go in another direction, you know? And by the way, since when has Barkley been clued into anything on the Celtics? All he does is root against them. I mean, you know, I don't understand why we're suddenly taking his Celtics takes as the gospel. I think that's absurd, to be honest, because he's so clearly biased against them every time he opens his mouth. But when you look at what Kyrie's doing here, I think this was him saying, I understand the way I'm trying to lead is not working, and I'm going to try a different message and a different method. And I think that is a sign of maturity. Whether it makes him a leader or not, I don't know. But it is a sign of maturity to realize that the approach that you're using, even though you believe in it, it's not working, and you better try something different.
All right, more of your calls. Got a couple open lines. You want to continue to talk about the Celtics and Kyrie Irving from this week, 617-779-0985. We'll get to those coming up next. And what's next for the Celtics on the schedule? That is right after these here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
15%.
Toucher and Rich and 98.5 The Sports Hub invite you to the second annual Pucks and Paddles with Patrice Bergeron, presented by Coors Light. Mark your calendar for Thursday afternoon, February 7th at Royale Boston. General admission tickets are $50 to watch the ping pong tournament. VIP tickets are $200. Bid in the auction to play ping pong against your favorite Bruins players and Sports Hub hosts. It all benefits the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. Pucks and Paddles with Toucher and Rich and the Bruins. Also brought to you by Carrier. Turn to the experts. Get more info at 98.5thesportshub.com. The excitement is building for another banner.
For three, got it.
The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The final rebound goes to Hamilton, the Horn Silas, and Atlanta has an impressive win over Billy Donovan's OKC Thunder. The first time they beat them in Atlanta since November of 2015, and they beat them.
So what's next for the Celtics? The Atlanta Hawks tonight. Sports Up Celtics Show 98.5 of Sports Up. Jim Murray and Chris Gasper and you at 617-779-0985. So the Hawks haven't played since Tuesday, and you just heard the final call of their last game. They dropped 45 in the second quarter en route to a 142-126 win over the Oklahoma City Thunder. What? But if you haven't been paying attention, and why would you? Because it's the Atlanta Hawks. They're mostly irrelevant in all of sports, not just the NBA. They've actually played pretty good basketball since around Christmas.
Yeah, they have.
They're decent at home. A couple of games under 500. I think they're 8-10 at home in Atlanta. So that's where the Celtics are going to be tonight. Second of a back-to-back. Celtics, Hawks would tip off a little after 7:30. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell will have the call on our sister station, 105.7 WROR. I want you to keep one thing in mind, though, because, again, remember, I did once work at the in Atlanta with the flagship station of the Hawks, as Chris will quickly mock me.
Yep, your Hawks.
Our Hawks, because it was a station mandate that we had to refer to the teams as our, which made me want to go home and drink bleach every night. But from an old coworker pal of mine, the flu has been running rampant through the locker room of the Atlanta Hawks. So John Collins and Trae Young both have been sick as dogs,
oh, really?
So they might not play tonight. So keep that in mind. In what's been, you know, an up and down year for the Celtics, and they can't find consistency, especially lately. This feels not must win, but like it would be terrible if they undid all the good that you've had here in these last couple of wins with Toronto and last night against Memphis.
Well, really, this stretch here, right? I mean, now it's Atlanta. You have Miami's a good team, but you have them at home. Then Cleveland, worst team in the league, at home on Wednesday. So you should have a 5-game winning streak going into next Saturday's much anticipated matchup with the Golden State Warriors at the Garden.
All right, your guys' Celtics calls at 617-779-0985. Let's blast through as many of these as we possibly can before we go back to the Patriots and Chiefs for the AFC Championship game. Let's go to Mike on Gordon Hayward. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I think people are forgetting that we watched Gordon Hayward's ankle and foot turn 90 degrees, so I think people in general are being pretty hard on him about how fast he's coming back. But to then say, Gasper, you're one of the more reasonable people on the radio station, but to then say Kyrie needs to be harder on him. Kyrie's had so many injuries in his own career, so I don't know why you'd say something about him then. And then when you start talking about the future, you've got, you know, him looking at Hayward and Horford going, these are the guys I probably have to go to war with down the road. Who knows what happens with these young guys?
Yeah, Horford could opt out, so I don't know how much of the future is with Horford. Let me clarify my point for you. If you're going to do the tough love thing and call people out, you have to do it evenly for everyone. You can't pick and choose and give certain people special dispensation because they're veterans. That's how you divide the team. And that was my point. If you're going to call other people out, then you have to call him out too. Now, if you're going to look at it and say, okay, yeah, there's an injury situation there, and so I'm not going to, or you're just going to say, I'm not going to call anybody out because that's not the right way to do it, which is what I think Kyrie has come to at this point, that's fine. But if you're going to start calling people out for what they're not doing based on what they were expected to do, then you have to do it to everybody or you're just picking on the young guys. And that creates resentment instead of your message being received. And so that's my point with Hayward. You know, if you're going to call people out, then you have to call everybody out. And he would be one of the people you would be calling out for not doing what he needs to do or what you thought he would do for this team at this point in the year.
Yeah, he's not catching enough heat. And frankly, I don't know if Jason Tatum is either. Matt Malden wants to talk about that. Hey, Matt.
Hey, fellas. Let me preface my question by saying that I do lean a little bit more towards Gasper's interpretation of Kyrie's LeBron call, though I do think his execution of his good intentions were very ham-handed. But my question is, based on with Jason Tatum, both his seeming dip in defense and the way he's responded to various attempts from Kyrie and other leaders on the team to kind of have more focus, if you had to guess, if you had to extrapolate and estimate, what would you say that maybe his time spent with Kobe in the off season, while it might have made him a better shooter, might have also been a more of a me first bad influence from Kobe? Could that have been a factor?
I don't know, but there's something definitely off with Jason Tatum, and it's more than a slump. He had a 10-game stretch this year where he played really well. 0-for-6 last night against Memphis. I think, like most people, not just Celtics fans, but many that cover the league, expected for Jason Tatum to make the leap this year. You see the talent there, especially offensively. He's kind of stunk overall, and there's... I can't remember a young player wowing me in year one and then taking a dip in year two like this since maybe Devin McCourty, you know?
Wow.
And so they end up putting him at safety. And granted, he's turned out to be a hell of a pro. But it's concerning, man. Like, I expected Tatum to be a top 10 player in the league this year. I really did. And I know I'm not alone.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was always going to be hard for him to sort of get enough shots for that. But look, I think the situation with Tatum is that he's trying to do too much on his own. And I think the anxiety for Tatum increases based on, I only have so many opportunities. That's what Chris Forsberg was talking to us about. Now, look, he's not a bench guy. He's a starter, but it's still the same thing on this team. I know I'm only going to get so many opportunities to get shots up and to make an impact offensively. So I need to make them count. And I think there are still times when he takes shots that are not the right shot. You know, I go back to the game they played against. I think it was Dallas. I loved it. He had a mismatch. Instead of just backing the guy down, he passed the basketball and then he posted the guy up and got a better position than he had originally to exploit the mismatch. I think he needs to do more of that. You know, he's not Kobe Bryant. He doesn't need to be Kobe Bryant on this team. They don't need him to take over the way they did in the playoffs last year. I think he's struggled to adjust to that.
All right, we'll continue to mix in your Celtics calls. You want to talk about them because, again, it's been a tumultuous week, I think, for the team. Granted, it looks like they might be out of the woods here, winning a couple straight, winning against Toronto on Wednesday night, and they beat Memphis at home last night. But I don't know. Like, I need to see. Oh, well, you just said they should be on a five game winning streak by the time they take on the Golden State Warriors at home a week from tonight. Then maybe I'll start to come on board a little bit more and feel more positive about the Celtics. So if you got things you want to unpack with them, have at it at 617-779-0985. But, of course, this is championship week eve here as we go to the AFC and NFC championship games tomorrow. Patriots, Chiefs. I know you guys got a lot to talk about with that game, so we'll take your calls on that. Right after the Sports Hub headlines, with a man who has, I think, the most at stake when it comes to Chiefs, Patriots tomorrow, Tim McCone, who might have to put a ball gag into Mike Felger's mouth if the Patriots pull off the upset tomorrow. So McCone will get you caught up with the Sports Hub headlines, and then we'll talk AFC championship game right after this here on Gasper and Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.